Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my last day to teach on healing. I've been on this for 7 weeks. This is the end of that seventh week, and I tell you, I've still got a lot I could say. This is a subject that has become really important to me. I've been healed of incurable diseases. I've seen my son raised from the dead after being dead for over 4 hours. I've seen a lot of miracles happen in this area, and it hasn't happened accidentally. It's because this has been a focus. It's something that God has really spoken to me. And even though I've taught on this for 7 weeks, I could teach on it another 7 weeks real easily. But today's our last day to teach on this here on television. And I've got all of these materials here, and we are going to start a new series next Monday. So if you would like to get any of these teaching materials on the subject of healing, I encourage you to please go to the effort today to request these materials. You can not only call or write us, but we have a website, and you can go, and there's a place that it says Today's TV Offer, and you can get all of these materials that we're offering there 24 hours a day. Yesterday, I was talking about the laws that govern faith. I was talking about that, first of all, you have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You have to act on your faith, and then you have to speak. And this was all taken from Mark chapter 5 about the woman who had the issue of blood. And then I turned over to Mark chapter 11 and was using Jesus' own teaching about how He cursed this fig tree. He didn't do anything physical. He just spoke words. And within 24 hours, this fig tree was dried up from the roots, and He told His disciples how He did it. And I was using this to emphasize how important our words are to receiving healing. It's one of the spiritual laws. Words are important. You release your faith by words. Here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so right here, it's putting the importance on words. And I've already talked about this for a couple of days. I know that there's people that only watch this program once in a while, and you may just be getting today's program. Please get these materials, because this is a huge issue. It's much bigger than what most people think. Let me point out something I haven't said about this, and that is in the first part of this verse, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. The mountain is talking about your problem. And most Christians don't do this. Most people talk to God about their problem instead of talking to their problem about God. That's a huge statement right there. Most Christians pray and say, oh God, I've got this problem. Would you please heal me? Would you do all of this? They don't talk to their problem. They talk to God about their problem. So for him to say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this is implied. It's not clearly stated, but if you'll think about it, it's implied that this is showing you understand God has given you power, and this power is released by your words. And so instead of you going to God and saying, God, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, would you please heal me? See, that's unbelief. But instead, you come and say, Father, thank you that you've already healed me. You've put this power on the inside of me. Now, I speak to this problem. I speak to cancer. I speak to my body. For you to speak to your problem implies that you understand the authority that you have, that Jesus has already done His part, and He gave you power over sickness and disease. And so you're taking your authority, and you are commanding this situation to change. That's huge what I've said right there. I've heard thousands of people pray, and it's usually begging and pleading with God, and they'll say things like, oh God, we can't do anything. Without you, we can do nothing. That's an absolute truth. John chapter 15, Jesus said that, but I'm never without Him. He has given me power and authority. And for you to approach God saying, oh God, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, would you please do something? It's total unbelief. You'll die with that attitude. Forgive me for being blunt, but I'm about out of time. I'm just trying to get these points across. You know, let me share this testimony that I prayed with a woman in 2001 in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a long story, but the short part of it is that she came in with a disease that she had had for over 7 years. The doctor said that on a scale of 1 to 10, her pain was a constant 11. And they even predicted that she would have died 4 years before I saw her. And the only way that she was able to cope with the pain was that she had magnets strapped to her body and then a blanket with magnets sewn into the blanket, and somehow this magnetic field diminished her pain somehow or another, and that's the way that she was coping. But she was basically just, waiting to die, and she could not overcome this pain. So she came in, sat down. I started countering a lot of her doctrine. She thought God allowed this, God controlled it, God was getting glory out of her suffering. I countered all of that stuff. I prayed for her, and for the first time in 7 or 8 years, she instantly was without pain. And man, she stood up, took this blanket thing off, and she was without pain and just praising God. And she says, but I still have a stinging right here. And she pointed, to her waist in the back. And she says, I still have a stinging. How come it didn't leave? And I said, you didn't tell me that you had a stinging. You told me you had pain. I rebuked pain. I said, watch this. And I prayed and I commanded that stinging to go. And it was totally gone. So then I taught her the exact things that I've been teaching you here from Mark chapter 11, verse 23, that she had to take her authority, quit begging God to do it, and she needed to believe and use the power of words and speak directly to the problem and command that pain and stinging and things to be gone. And I spent about 20 minutes or more teaching her these things, and she was just praising God. So anyway, she got up to leave, and as she put her hand on the doorknob, I remember her looking back at me, and she said, the stinging is back. And I said, well, I've been teaching you how to stand on your healing and how to resist these things coming back. So I said, I'm going to let you pray. And I held hands with her, and I said, you pray. And so this woman prayed a prayer, and this is nearly word for word what she said. She said, Father, I thank you that you didn't give me this sickness. This isn't you doing this to me, that this is the devil attacking my body, and that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. And she looked at me, and I said, so, do you still have any stinging? And she said, yes. And I said, do you know why? And she said, well, no. And I said, it's because you didn't do what I was teaching you. I said, that's a good prayer in the sense that instead of you blaming God for your sickness, you're saying it was His will, by His stripes you're healed. The things that you said were good, but I said, that type of prayer will not get you well. There's probably some of you watching this television program who were thinking, man, I thought that was a good prayer because that's the way you pray. But you'll die with that kind of a prayer. You didn't do what the Lord said. You didn't talk to your problem. Instead, you're talking to God and confessing that by His stripes you are healed. I claim my healing and things like that. But you didn't talk to your problem. So I told this woman that. And she says, you mean I'm supposed to talk to stinging and say stinging and address it like it's a person or something? I said, yes. And she says, I'll do it. So we joined hands again. And this woman prayed and she said, Father, she said, stinging in the name of Jesus. And she stopped right then and she says, it's gone. That's all she had to do was just say stinging in the name of Jesus and boom, that stinging was gone. And anyway, I went over to her house a year later and she still was walking in that healing. And I'm telling you, this is why a lot of people do not see healing manifest is because they're passive. They say, God, we have nothing. We can do nothing. Would you please stretch forth your hand and heal? That's religious. Most people think that's great, but that's the reason people are dying is because they don't understand the power that God has given us. They don't understand that healing is voice activated, that it's based on the words that you speak. And so they allow other people to speak death over them. They don't counter it. They speak death over themselves. They don't use the power of words. They don't believe in this. They don't talk to the problem. They talk to God about their problem. And I'm telling you, these are some of the laws that govern how faith works. This isn't your faith. It's God's faith. And it's not up to you to pick and choose how you want to do it. This may not be the way you've been taught. It may not have been the way that you've been your whole life, but I'm telling you, it's what the Word of God says. And if you want to see the right results, you got to learn these laws that govern faith. You know, I've got another example of this. In our healing journeys, we have a testimony of Ken and Virginia Wood, and he was in a terrible automobile accident. He should have died. They pronounced he was going to die, and then as he got better, that it would take years and years and years, and yet they understood the power of words because of this teaching. And I tell you, it will inspire you. Remember, today's our last day to offer you these materials, so watch this testimony of Ken Wood's healing and write today and request these materials.
I had found Andrew on the radio surfing. I was waiting for Ken to come out of work, and I was sitting out in the back, you know, the parking lot, and I just stumbled on Andrew. And the Spirit of God in Andrew connected with the Spirit of God in me, and so I began listening to Andrew, everything I could get my hands on.
If we were thinking according to the Word of God that says no weapon formed against us will prosper, God heals all of our sickness, all of our diseases. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
I listened to so many of Andrew's teachings. They came in and became a part of me. They became a part of every cell, every fiber of my being. Kenneth was ready to go to work on his overnight work party, and he came in, he had the keys to our little car, and he says, "I'm ready to go." And our daughter came in, and she looked at her daddy. He was just so fatigued, and she actually wrestled the keys away from her daddy and says, "Dad, you're too tired. Here are the keys to your truck. Take your truck." And so as Ken was pulling out of the driveway, I prayed for him.
They sent me to work all night to work at a store. It's about 70 miles away from the store I work at. And we worked all night. And that next morning, I'm coming back to my store. And it's about an hour and a half drive or so.
He called me the next morning. He says, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I'm really, really tired."
I pulled in a little town, called my wife, and I said, "You know, hon, I'm just really tired. I'm going to stop here and get a bite of breakfast." It was about 8 o'clock in the morning.
And I said, "Call me when you leave."
After that, I called her back and I said, "You know, I think I can make it in."
I says, "Kenneth, if you get too tired, I know where you are. I'll come and get you." And it was 20-30 minutes later, I guess, and the phone rings and we have caller ID, and I do not answer if I don't know. But the Spirit prompted me and I picked up this phone. And there was this man on the phone saying, "Your husband's had a wreck."
I had a pickup I was driving, and I fell asleep. And praise God, I did drift over and hit somebody, but I didn't injure or kill anybody. This is a good thing. But I was in a head-on accident. Cruise control is not always the best thing, you know.
The truck was just totaled. I didn't know how. I had no idea how Ken got out of that truck.
The only things I can actually remember of that day after that, I remember them trying, somebody was working on me. I guess they were getting me out of the truck. And I was told later it took them two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab. And I was a conscious, and I remember saying, "Just get my leg loose, I'll be okay." I didn't know what other injuries are actually in my body. The next thing I remember is there, I was at a small hospital and they was going to take me to a major city hospital in Fort Worth.
And there's this helicopter sitting on the front lawn of the hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what that helicopter's there for.
And then the last thing I remember you know, clearly. It's the sound of the helicopter blades. And I can only tell you what the injuries were because I was reported. I mean, they said they counted, quick counting broken ribs. I was told after seven. I don't know how many of my ribs were cracked. My sternum was cracked.
One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close to that pelvic girdle. The right hip was cracked, both knees were cracked. He had stitches and all over, you know, elbows and stuff.
So I was pretty beat up, okay? And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die. And just to live through that was already a miracle.
They put him in ICU. He was there for 4.5 weeks. It was extremely difficult because where he was in ICU, they reevaluated the situation, the entire treatment plan and everything, every hour on the hour. How's he doing? What can I expect? We'll let you know for the next hour. And it was a major readjustment in my mindset to go live life 1 hour at a time. And one evening I was sitting there thinking, and I just crumbled against the wall and I says, Lord, I can't take this anymore. And Jesus said to me, he says, I have delivered you from the lion. I have delivered you from the bear. What is this Goliath to you?
If we were to be thinking spiritually and focused, considering only what the Word of God says, then when the doctor tells you you've got an incurable disease, you wouldn't fall apart like a $2 suitcase and start crying and have to fight depression and discouragement and fear.
I had this scripture, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue, every doctor's report, every nurse's conversation, every thought that rises up against you that does not line up with the Word of God but rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And the Lord told me, he says, you have a part to play, and if you don't play it, it won't manifest. And then it says, and this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. I said, what's my inheritance? That no weapon formed against you will prosper. And your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And when I heard the Lord say that, I heard this giant metal door creaking, and as it came and it slammed shut. And when the door slammed shut, I knew that Satan had been locked out. He had reached a level where he was not improving, and the doctors were going, what is wrong? He just stopped. And I was talking to him, encouraging him, and all of a sudden his eyes popped open and the man was totally alert.
And she comes and she kisses my face. And I do remember this, but I remember like a fuzzy dream, so I don't know how that fits in with everything. But she asked me, says, you think you're gonna die, don't you?
And he thought about it. He thought about it and he processed it and he shook his head.
And she says, Jesus says you can live. Now, will you agree with me that you will live? And I thought of it. I was elusive enough I could think. And I said, yes, I agree.
And I just came alive. I said, you will? You will agree with me? And his eyes were closing pretty quick, and he gave a little bitty nod, and he was out again.
I chose to live. And when I chose to live, that's when things started changing.
Satan lost no opportunity for creating devastation, trying to kill Ken. And one of the major ones was this acute renal failure. And the nurses called me, explained what it was, said, can we put in the stent and do this thing? And I didn't find out till later that in this situation, that when they do that and they put you on kidney dialysis, whatever it was, they never, ever expect you to come off.
Praise God, I only took two or three treatments, and my kidneys have not missed a lick since then.
Ken had two treatments, only two. That was the beginning of miracles. The second hospital was the one designed to get the tubes out and to get him off those heavy drugs. And I walked in there. They had Ken sitting bolt upright in bed with his eyes open.
She told me later that when they took me to this long-term care facility, that they were saying 6 months would be an absolute miracle. 2 years would not be out of the unreasonable for me to be there. I'd have to learn to walk, I have to learn to talk.
The diagnosis came out, he's gonna be in major rehab. Every cell of his body was saturated with drugs. And they were saying, he's gonna be a drug addict, you're gonna have mental issues. Whatever they diagnosed, God healed.
I left that place in 3 weeks, not 6 months.
And when we took him home, he was in a wheelchair. He had that 3-inch nylon belt around his chest. He was a wheelchair. That's all he was.
I was in a wheelchair, and we stayed there for a while in the wheelchair. Then I progressed to a walker. The people said I didn't need any more rehab, but my surgeon said I did need more rehab. And while they were arguing, Virginia and I says, well, you know, it's about the time for the family summer conference, so let's just go down there and take a week off and relax.
Tribulation do not perfect you. God is not the author of it. It's like I was teaching this morning. The scripture makes it very clear that afflictions and persecutions come for the word's sake, to steal the word of God out of your heart. It's not from God.
And we are here because our doctor messed up in his communicating with physical therapy and workman's comp. And so we don't have physical therapy, and we're sitting at home, and we're going, we have no obligations. Let's go see Andrew Womack.
We listened to the speakers that week and decided this is what we wanted to do. My heart's always been to do something like this. I didn't know what it looked like.
We came up here 2 weeks early to enroll in school. He was still in the wheelchair, although I wasn't helping him so much.
I did not bring my walker. I left it in Texas. I brought the wheelchair because it was kind of like a second, you know, lounge chair you could put in a room and sit in, get your feet up, but I sent it back home.
By the time school came around, God's power was still flowing. God's power has never left his body.
Knowing I was healed, not just believing, but knowing I was healed, even though the physical outside didn't look healed, I just kept knowing and trusting and thanking the Lord for that. Continued it for a year. I used my cane.
And when it came time to do his second year mission trip, he left it at home. I think it was an act of faith more than anything.
I laid it down. Haven't picked it up since.
Ken still has a 21% disability rating. But praise God, he puts his socks and shoes on. I used to help him put his pants on because that one leg, he just couldn't even lift his leg.
I continue seeing healing in my body, continue knowing that my healing is progressing. I am healed and whole in the spirit. And I'm pretty well healed and whole in the physical too.
He showers, he cooks, he even does laundry for me. And we take walks. He works at the phone center and he ministers to people. He prays for people. He should have died. The man should have died. And there are still some glitches, but he's nowhere near dead. And he is moving. He teaches, he preaches, he prays, he works.
I am healed. I am whole. I am walking. I'm alive. And I know the power of God going through me. Working through me, working around.
Let me remind you that today is the last day that we're offering all of these teaching materials on healing. I have this little magazine that is a free gift to you. If you'll request it, we'll be glad to send it to you. And then we have our book and our study guide that is the same material that's in the book. It's just in a format that you can disciple people with it. We have CDs, DVDs, 4 DVDs that have testimonies like the one that you saw on today's program. And then we also have this MP3 flash drive that has over 43 hours worth of my teaching on subjects related to healing. So today's my last day to make this offer to you. I encourage you to please call or write today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his booklet titled, God Wants You Well. You can get your free copy by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. The story you saw in today's program is in the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on your choice of CD or, as seen on TV, DVD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's audio teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 38 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled The Laws of Faith. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. Join us again Monday as Andrew begins his teachings on Lessons from David.
And the same thing could happen over a multitude of things. You could have lost a job. Maybe you were fired unjustly. Maybe you had somebody divorce you and your marriage failed and this wasn't God's will. Yes, those kind of things happen, but what are you going to do? Are you going to let this affect you the rest of your life? Are you going to limp through life with this? Or are you just going to get over it? Fill your horn with oil. Fill yourself with the power of the Holy Ghost and go on. And I'm telling you that God can take whatever the devil has thrown at you and God can work it together for good.
That's next time on The Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.